If you could help me understand what the hospital will be doing going forward, since there are so many more, the mandates are being lifted and businesses are opening.
Thank you, Kathleen. Well, good morning, everybody. I just want to kind of take a step back a little bit to answer that and just remind everybody of what happened over the last 2 months. And what happened was that breathing room allowed the hospital to get kind of ready and get systems in place to treat COVID-19, which we had some in place, but we still were learning from the wave in front of us throughout the nation and the world. And so for the last, you know, month or so, that's what we've been doing, setting up the alternate care site, setting up internal systems, adding negative pressure rooms, adding new walls and entryways with, secured plastic.
So preparing zones for people who have the virus.
Exactly. And so now we slowly start adding back in all of our regular services because we, you know, worked on getting the COVID-19 ready. And so now everything will kind of coexist. And, you know, really in a lot of the departments, we're kind of back to normal. Our numbers aren't there, so we're not seeing the same number of people because of spacing issues and new protocols and the importance of not going through supplies very quickly, being able to manage supply use, and being respectful to patients and employees in regards to physical distancing and those types of things. But for the most part, we're really close to back to normal as far as the types of services. This week we started offering screening mammograms and other screening services and imaging. This week we're offering a variety of different surgery procedures that are a little beyond just emergent, you know.
Okay,
and,
I'm going to stop you there.
Medical, we're offering all types of appointments. So it's just kind of like now blending. Now we get to blend all of the preparation and the regular services.
Okay, Dorotha, thanks. And Jenny Carroll, I'm wondering about upcoming ordinance for the city council about masking and about decisions that are being made right now because of the governor's lifting of restrictions.
Right. Thank you, Kathleen, for that question. A couple of things I'd like to address about your question is that certainly we are looking ahead towards the governor coming out with new mandates that will further open up businesses and with Alaska, with so few cases right now, has one of the lowest rates of infection in the country. But I want to address a tension that I'm feeling in the community a little bit that people are saying, well, it's the only way to improve our public health is to shut down the economy, because that really hurts individuals and our ability to make a living and put food on the table and pay our rent versus is the only way that I can improve the economy is to sacrifice my health or my family's health or public health. So I just wanted to say that the governor is providing these mandates based on this very fragile place that we are, in a very good place that we are with the slow transmission of COVID in the state. And so the city's been following those strategies for reopening the economy while keeping public health and safety number one in our minds. That's the job of the Emergency Operations Center. That's why we have a state of emergency, is to try to protect each other. At the same time, people are voicing their discontent, and the city is working within the governor's framework to help protect public health and safety and following the mandates and the guidance. And that is one way that we can kind of ease that tension, is that by following the guidance, we can mitigate health concerns. So the city is practicing, and we're helping educate people about those best strategies known to keep transmission down if we can keep the transmission down, we're going to be able to continue with opening our economy while at the same time protecting public health as best we can. And that is exactly where the ordinance comes from as far as wearing cloth face coverings. As you look around at the kinds of strategies that have worked around the world, in the country, we're in a great vantage point in Alaska where we are able to look at other places and draw from the successes. And it is a known, one of the known strategies among others that the governor has recommended to mitigate health concerns as we get our economy back on step.
And I will know we're going to circle back to this because I have some questions that have been emailed ahead of time asking about these very things. But I want to shift to Nurse Lauren Carroll. Good morning. And this opening of more businesses, and it seems to me it's going to make the job of contact tracing a lot more complex. Are you involved in tracing, Nurse Lauren?
Good morning. Yes, the public health nurses are the ones that are locally responsible for contact tracing, which is in part based upon interviewing the client. So, yeah, the implication there is that with summer comes fishing season and other seasonal work. So the idea there is with more people moving around, there is a higher chance of transmission. So, yeah, just like the hospital, in terms of population-focused health care, the public health nurses are gearing up for a busy season as well.
Thanks for that. And I'm going to get back to these questions. First of all, someone asking for clarification as to why non-essential businesses that are now opening are required to wear masks and have sanitizer, and this requirement is not applicable to essential services. Like auto supplies stores, grocery stores, hardware stores should be held to the same standard now as we open up to more people, or should they?
I can take that one, Kathleen. This
Go
is
ahead, Jenny
with Jenny. The city. Certainly, I would say all businesses are the health recommendation is that face coverings help protect one another from the spread of the virus. So the virus is spread by droplets. When we speak, when we cough, we spread those droplets in the air. And this is a way of keeping those droplets from moving out very far from our body and helping to protect other people who are sharing the same airspace. So, all businesses are recommended to do that through the governor's mandates. It is a strong health advisory recommendation.
Thanks, Jenny.
The governor. Mm-hmm.
And if you have any questions for Jenny Carroll from the city of Homer, Nurse Lauren Carroll, or Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital, the number to call is 235-7721. Or you can email your question to info@kbbi.org. And if I go back to these questions, they have a lot in common. Once again, the post office staff directly serving aren't wearing masks, this person says, and aren't serving behind protective shields as they come in contact with folks also not wearing masks. And is there any effort to contact businesses who are not wearing masks and keeping customers spaced out? And this person gives the example of Anchor Point Greenhouse. She says is practicing safe distancing. They have masks, they have gloves, they have hand sanitizer. Is there any effort to contact businesses?
This is Jenny again, and certainly early on in not or earlier than now anyway The city has, through the EOC, we have had a safety officer and we have the public information officers that have gone out to educate and reach out to local businesses, not in an enforcement manner, but in a manner in which we want to educate and provide businesses with the kinds of resources that they may need to be able to practice in a way that we're also protecting public health and safety. So we have offered resources, we've gone around and provided information, but it is really up to the responsibility of the individual businesses to actually put those into place, not only to protect our customers, but to protect their employees and just the public health and the community in general. And there's a lot of responsibility that each one of us takes in these times where our health, our actions really can impact other people's health. So it places a lot of responsibility on us as individuals, as businesses, to practice the measures as best we can to protect one another and ourselves.
Thanks, Jenny. While I've got you, someone else emailed the question or called in the question about the toilets on the spit not being cleaned regularly. I mean, what's the city's response for, is there a plan to amp up like the cleaning and hygiene on the spit now that people are going to be coming down there more often?
Certainly. We have been moving through our own practices of trying to keep our staff safe and rotating schedules so that we don't have a whole crew out with virus and needing to isolate. And as the mandates are opening up and the season is opening up, we are working to provide all the kinds of services that we normally do to keep the bathrooms clean. I know that some of the restrooms, public restrooms, have been closed because we could not keep up with the maintenance of those, and we wanted to be able to protect public health through that. So I can reach out to our Public Works Department and Parks Maintenance and Port and Harbor and see where we are in that process and get back to you.
Great.
But I know that it is one of the processes the city's working through right now is how do we safely open up our recreation areas with the manpower that we have and the health advisories and recommendations that are out there.
Thanks, Jenny. Mm-hmm. And Nurse Lauren, this one comes from Art. What safe practices are there for gathering in public places like beaches, for example?
Hey, thanks for that question, Art. And also thanks for an easy one. Being outside is a real nice resilience factor. Just engaging with each other and engaging with the natural beauty of our surroundings down here at the end of the road. But some of the guidelines regarding being outside are very similar to being inside. So if you're out on Bishop's Beach or other beaches hanging out with others, the guideline there would be to stay at least 6 feet away from folks. And if there's a circumstance where you happen to be closer than 6 feet, the guideline there is just to ensure that it's not over 10 minutes. And that's for standing around and catching up. For folks that aren't part of your household. So it's okay to hold hands if you're hanging out with someone from your household outside on a beach. But if you're doing some kind of other activities like dancing or running, it's best to widen that gap to more like 20 feet.
Okay, thanks, Nurse Lauren Carroll. And Dorotha, I cut you off earlier, so I want to get back to what the hospital, the ways in which the hospital is opening up more. I know you said that there are procedures and surgeries now being performed. Also, we talked last week about how people can now accompany you.
Yes, thank you.
But what else?
Yes, the visitor policy has been relaxed a bit so that you can have somebody with you. Some other things you'll see is Universal masking. And so everybody, whether they work there or they're a patient or the visitor with the patient, everybody will be asked to have a mask on or a face cover. In the interest of supplies and supply conservation, folks are welcome to wear their own mask cover when they come for a scheduled appointment. But their guest or their visitor needs to as well. Another big change is just kind of the lack of spaces that you can access in the different buildings. You will be required to stay just in the area that you're seeking treatment in. So you won't be able to go to get the cafeteria or, you know, go to other areas of the hospital or those types of things. Advanced screenings, so you can expect to go through a series of questions and screening at time of setting appointment, possibly the day before, depending on what type of appointment you're setting, and then definitely at the door before you come in. And that would be both for the patient and their visitor as well. So that's just kind of some examples of the types of changes that you can expect to see and experience as you reengage with your providers.
And as usual, all of this can change in the next hour. So I want to remember
thank
that.
You.
Yes. I just want to remind people of that, because it's constant for Jenny Carroll from the city, for Dorotha from the hospital, for Nurse Lorne, this constant updating and making sure you're current. And then for the moment that you are current, that's great. But then once that moment passes, you've got to catch up again. So thank you for your work.
And just to follow up on that, Kathleen, even the ability to change the message quickly, you know, I'll be honest, if you went to our website, the hospital website right now, you might find an outdated, you know, guideline on visitation or something, just because I haven't updated. I did not update those things yesterday, those guidelines yesterday. So it really, we do appreciate everybody's patience and understanding as we walk through this together.
Okay, I have one more question from email. If you have a question, you can call it in at 235-7721, or you can email info@kbbi.org. I have a question here about what are the ways, or can you all speak to the necessity of a 14-day quarantine when someone comes in from outside? And the question is for tourists who are coming from outside Alaska, but also what are the boundaries for quarantine if I say go to Soldotna or if I have to go to Fairbanks? Nurse Lorne, can you take that one?
Yeah, I'll take a first go at it. The thing about COVID-19 is that it's what we call an acute disease or disease process that wraps up pretty quickly. And in the case of COVID, in most cases, the disease process is all done, for the most part, within 10 days. So the thought there is, in terms to prevent the spread of transmission, if folks are able to hunker down for 14 days upon arrival, then we'll know that they don't have any acute viruses that can be transmitted to other folks. And so this is very, very different than chronic diseases like tuberculosis, which we also have a disproportionate impact on Alaskans and have for about the past couple hundred years. And in part, what's driving that is someone could be infected with tuberculosis at a young age and then not get active disease until adulthood. So one of the benefits of facing an acute disease is if we can hunker down successfully for 14 days, hunkering down meaning not having contact with others, then that successfully prevents a spread of transmission. And Alaskans have demonstrated success in doing that over the past couple months.
Thanks, Lorne. Jenny Carroll from the city of Homer, do you have something to say about that?
You had asked about what if you, Kathleen, need to go to Soldotna or Fairbanks. I believe you were talking about intrastate travel or travel of Alaskans within Alaska.
Yes, ma'am.
And at this point, the state recommendation is that family groups can travel together, or this is their the state's advisory, because you've already been more or less quarantining with your family and having that interaction, so that traveling with family members around the state on the road system is that's just fine to do. And what is asked is that people do practice those community mitigation measures that we keep talking about every week of, you know, social distancing, washing your hands, following those practices so that we aren't transmitting virus from one community to another. So those are that's the state guidelines at this moment.
And I have something from the city, a flyer about irresponsible flushing. It's fascinating. Mm-hmm. And I have an interview that you were part of that where I spoke to Todd Cook, the wastewater superintendent. So I'm going to put something together just as, you know, informational, because once you hear what the wastewater treatment plant has to go through, when you put your wet wipes, Band-Aids, cotton balls, those sorts of things into the pipes, into the system, what they have to go through, we shouldn't ask them to do. We should take care of that on our own. This got me to thinking, is the city going to put out official recommendations for the opening of businesses now that they're going to be up at 25% capacity and those sorts of things? Are there more of these flyers that I haven't seen, Jenny?
The Public Information Officer Rachel Tessie has been distributing very simple COVID Smart Community 11x17 flyers, walking around town to offer them to businesses who would like them to alert their customers about safe practices and putting out the message to everyone. So that's one of the flyers that has been going out, as well as people may have noticed some orange banners around town to try to inform people that at least the city takes COVID seriously and we would like you to join us in that, in the safe practices so that our businesses can continue to open. The city, Kathleen, does not issue any mandates. We follow the state mandates and educate people as best we can to protect public health and safety, which is one of our missions.
I think you made the point earlier that there's really not enforcement to this. It's informational. Is that correct?
The state can enforce egregious instances of breaking the mandates, and I would have to have you contact the state on how they do that exactly, because it's not in the city's purview. But many of the guidelines are health advisory, and the opening of our economy is contingent on people following those and doing the right thing that has got us to the place where we are now. All of our sacrifices, all of Alaskans' work to keep COVID down has allowed us to get to where we are today. And
Kathleen, if I can add on other outreach measures.
Sure, go ahead, Dorotha. Thank you, Jenny. Mm-hmm.
We are we're working with the Chamber of Commerce to get materials to all of the lodging to be able to have a welcome message, but also kind of where to find the resources and very importantly where to get tested, because while you're here you might become symptomatic, and what to do if that happens and where to get tested. And the state is organizing a pretty big meeting tomorrow with all of the tourism agencies, if you will, the chambers and visitor bureaus and everything, to really nail down details on how collectively those types of messages can be shared with the all of the visitors going, you know, within the state of Alaska, but also coming to the state of Alaska.
And I have another emailed question, a follow-up for you, Jenny Carroll. Art wants to know, so we talked about traveling like to Fairbanks and coming home, and you can quarantine, hunker down with your family. Art wants to know, so once I get to Fairbanks, am I mandated to hunker down there for 2 weeks, for 14 days?
No, you're not.
Okay. So I'm going to ask, thank you all for participating this morning. This has been the COVID-19 Brief with Jenny Carroll from the City of Homer, Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital, and Nurse Lauren Carroll from the State Department of Public Health. Nurse Lauren, do you have anything on your list today that we didn't get to?
Yeah, I just want to kind of take a brief moment to walk through the basic points that attempts to answer why are we doing this now? And here they are. In terms of vaccine preventable diseases, which many of them are viruses, we have vaccine for those, and so we're able to increase herd immunity that protects the entire population. But with COVID-19, there is no vaccine, and then there is no treatment as of today. So the only way for us to be protected is to acquire herd immunity at a very large expense of around 3% death of the population, or through community mitigation measures. So the idea there is within an acute disease process or disease process that only lasts about 10 days to stop transmission from around one person infecting 2.5 people to one person infecting less than one person. And as a team, that's how we're going to get through it.
Thank you, Nurse Lauren. What about you, Dorotha Ferraro? Any final words for you?
Follow up with Lauren there. I would remind people now that we're really out and about to really help protect the more vulnerable population. There's certainly data that shows that elderly, people with underlying conditions, that, you know, there's groups of people that are a little more susceptible to this, and being respectful of spaces and distancing and not going into people's homes, visiting them from the porch or from the driveway, and really remaining respectful for other people's health. To your own decision,
you're saying wear that mask for your elders.
For your elder and others who might not be as healthy as you are.
Thank you. And Jenny Carroll from the city?
Well, I don't think I could add anything more to Lauren and Dorotha's comments. Those are right spot on.
Well, thank you all, and we will check in. You can contact KBBI anytime, and I'll be checking in a couple of days.
Thanks so much, Kathleen.
Thank you.
Everybody.
And thank everybody for their questions.
Yes, definitely. Thanks. Mm-hmm.
Keep them coming. Thank you.
And if you had a question and we didn't get to it, I think we got to everyone today. But if not, you can always email questions ahead of time to Kathleen@kbbi.org or to info@kbbi.org, and we collect them for the next time the COVID-19 Brief convenes.